Today's Shir is Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Dalet. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Ki Asa Ula, when Ula came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and actually Mepharshim teach us that whenever the Gemara uses the word Ki Asa, it means that somebody came from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. And whenever it says Ki Salik, it means that somebody came from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael. So again, Ki Asa Ula, when Ula came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Yosef Abisma Bikima, he sat on a base, a pedestal, that was used for Avodah Zarah, that was somewhat not in good shape. It was broken. Amalei Rabbi Huda Ula. So Rabbi Huda said to Ula, for Rav Shmuel Dami Tavai, having Rav Shmuel both taught us, Bimas Shenifkam, even of a pedestal that's used for Avodah Zarah, that got somewhat ruined, Osir. Vafila Mandomer, even according to the opinion that we discussed in our previous year, that Ein Oivdim Lishvarim, that when Avodah Zarah breaks, the Nochrim don't worship them, the Mavatal them, Hani Mili, when was that said that they won't worship a broken Avodah Zarah? Hani Mili, that was said on the Avodah Zarah itself. Because to them, it's highly embarrassing for them to sit on to worship an Avodah Zarah that's broken. The Lazila by Milsa Lamiflach Lishvarim. It's embarrassing to them to worship an Avodah Zarah that is broken. However, this which is only used as a pedestal, it doesn't bother them. So the fact that it's somewhat broken shouldn't make a difference, says the Gemara Amalei. So Ula responded to Rav Yehuda, and he said, "Man, Yavlon, me'afer the Rav Shmuel, who could bring us to some of the earth with which Rav and Shmuel are covered in their grave, umalinan, and we would use it einayin. We would use that to cover our eyes. They are indeed great tzaddikim. What they were saying was that we recognize how great they was, but that doesn't mean that we have to accept what they say." And I saw that the Rishonim point out that there was a minig that when people would come visit the graves of tzaddikim, they would kiss the earth. And that shows great respect to the nifter. And that's what they were saying, that if and when we would visit the graves of these great people, we would kiss their graves. But that doesn't mean that we agree with them. Because they said, the Rav Yochim Reish Lakish Darmi Tavayu, Bimish Nifkam, a pedestal got broken mutter. But feel a man d'omer, even according to the man d'omer, that says, not like what we just said a moment ago, that Oivdim L'shvarim, that people even worship the broken Avodah Zarah, Hani Mila Avodah Kechavim, so they suggest the opposite from what we just said. Hani Mila Avodah Kechavim, when would they worship something that's broken? That's on the Avodah Zarah itself. The Avodah Zarah itself, they may worship even when it's broken. The reason being, the Kivin de Palcha, since at one point they worship this Avodah Zarah, Zila ben Musla Vatula, they don't so quickly abandon it. Aval Hani, these are just pedestals, as we've been repeating and repeating. Since they're only pedestals, so it's no big deal for them. Shokla lahai, they'll take away these pedestals that they've been using. And they're going to bring a different pedestal. And since that's the way they operate, says the Gemara, the fact that these pedestals are broken means that they will no longer will be used. And the Ravid points out that even though the Gemara is saying here that they will continue using an Avodah Zarah, even if it's broken, it doesn't mean that they're going to continue using it indefinitely if it's broken. It's only in a situation where it's not completely broken. And since it was used for an Avodah Zarah, they're not going to be so quick to abandon it. But in a case where it will be completely broken or very much broken, says the Ravid, even this opinion would hold that they're no longer going to worship it. Tanya Kavasein says the Gemara is a brisa that supports what Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish said. The brisa says, Bima shenifkam mutter. If the pedestal is broken, it becomes mutter. Mizbeach shenifkam, but if the mizbeach that they put the Avodah Zarah, that they put on kabbana shenifkam, osur achinotze reisha. So we see from here that as soon as it's broken, it's no longer considered a bimus. Ask the Gemara, but the brisa that we just learned differentiated between a bimus and a mizbeach. So ask the Gemara, hechidami bimus, hechidami mizbeach. In other words, what is the difference that a bimus, we need to know very much now, that what is the difference between a bimus and a mizbeach, because it's going to be critical for us to know if it's nifkam. If it's a bimus, it's no longer a problem. If it's a mizbeach, it is a problem. It says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yaakov, Eidi, Amar Rav Yaakov, bimus is even echas. A bimus is made out of one stone. A mizbeach is made out of havonim harbe, many stones. Amar Chizki, to which Chizki comments, my craw, from where do we see that in a posik, that a mizbeach is made out of many stones, and therefore, in order for it to be osur, it has to be ruboy. Says the Ravid that this discussion, a very interesting Ravid. The Ravid says this discussion that we're having in our Gemara that differentiates between a mizbeach and a bimus, and says that a mizbeach it has to be ruboy, and a bimus it's even nifkam, is only when it broke on its own. So says the Ravid that when it breaks on its own, there the halacha differentiates between a bimus and a mizbeach. However, says the Ravid, when it was deliberately broken, in a case where it's deliberately broken, says the Ravid, then the halacha will be that even it makes no difference if it's a mizbeach or a bimus, the fact that the Nachri deliberately broke it shows an intention to mevatel it, and since it shows an intention to mevatel it, it will be batel. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, "Besumei kol avni mizbeach kavni near minufotzos leikumu ashereim v'hamonim." Ashereim v'hamonim are types of avodah zarah that they used to bring kabonis on the mizbeach, and the pasuk says, "Kol avni mizbeach." It was made out of many stones, so we see iika. And therefore, the Gemara continues, Iika, that ka'avni ne'man futus, that the stones that were all broken, then lo yikum ashrein v'haymen, then they're not considered an avodah zarah anymore. Ilav, but if we don't have a situation where most of them were broken, then yikumu, they are still considered an avodah zarah. Tana continues, the braisa of animal nevad, was worshipped. So the halacha is shaloi. If the animal belongs to the person who worshipped it, asur, it may not be used for carbon. However, with shel chaveroi, if it belongs to someone else and he went and worshipped it, then mutar. As we just learned, Rashi explains that the Gemara is differentiating between an animal that belongs by an animal. If it belongs to you or belongs to somebody else. The Ravid says that if what was worshipped, then the halacha is that if it's something that's not connected to the ground, then the halacha is that not only may not be used for a mitzvah, but it can't even be used under any purpose. If it's something like mechubar, like the mountain that we speak about, Haharim alayhem v'loy alayhem haharim. So there, the halacha is that it may not be used for a mitzvah, but it could be used for somebody's own purpose. But If it's something that belongs to someone else, says the Ravid, the fact that it belongs to somebody else, and the halacha is, ein adam oisa davish ein shaloi, a person does not have the ability halachically to make something that doesn't belong to him, asur, so then the halacha will be that it's completely mutter. Ask the Gemara for a mini, but ask the Gemara, there's another brisa. This brisa says, ezu neved, what is considered in the category of neved that may not be used for dvar mitzvah? Says the brisa, kol she'ovdin ma'isai, anything that was worshipped, bein b'shoyi, bein b'mezid, whether it was b'shoyi or b'mezid, bein b'oynes, bein b'rotzen, whether it was done b'mezid or b'rotzen. So there's a machloikus rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos, about mezid v'rotzen. Rashi's interpretation is that mezid v'rotzen are really one and the same. But because when we're going to speak about shoygig v'oynes, they're considered two separate things. So in order to remain symmetrical, not only do we speak about mezid and rotzen being there, we have to say mezid v'rotzen, even though they're identical, we use shoygig v'oynes to be two words this way, two ways that way. But Tosfos seems to learn that mezid and rotzen are not the same. Mezid is when somebody did something wrong deliberately. Rotzen is that he did it deliberately, but he thought he was doing a mitzvah. Says the Braisa further. So says the Gemara. In all these cases, it becomes in the category of nevad. Another question is, what is the case of oinus? Lav, going the honest behemoth chaveri, isn't referring to a situation where somebody took away somebody else's animal, and he bowed down to somebody else's animal, and still it becomes also legavaya. Isn't that a steer to what we've been learning, that if you take somebody else's thing, you can't make it osir? And says the Gemara, no. That's not what we're referring to here. Rather, we're speaking about Amar Rami Bachama Loi, going Shinsua of the Kachavim, the Nachrim forced him, Vishtachvel Behem to the day, forced him to worship his own animal. And therefore, as we're learning, when you worship your own animal, it becomes a neved. But ask the Gemara, why would that be the halacha? Maskafla Rav Zera. Ask Rav Zera, on that psak, why would that be the halacha? Isn't this a situation of onus rachmana patri? When you did something against your will, the halacha is that onus rachmana patri. And the source for that is by the Torah says, when a nara marasa was nensa, when she was violated, the pasuk says, l'nara le'sasa dover, because she did not do anything in that case, she's potter. So here too, if this person was forced to worship this animal, why would it become usur? So the Mefarshim ask, the two cases are not the same. Because by a nara who was violated, she, as the Gemara often uses the concept, she's karka olam. She didn't do anything. She didn't actively participate in the avera. Whereas here, even though he didn't do it voluntarily, he was forced to do it, but he actively worshipped Avodah Zarah. So how can we compare the two cases? So Tosfos answers, if even somebody who's karka oilam, when somebody did not, was just passive in the Avera, but let's say she would have done this b'mezid. She did it deliberately. She knew she was doing an Avera. But she wasn't active in the Avera. It's still very much an Avera. So Tosfos says, from here we see that Karka Olam is not a heter. Karka Olam doesn't make it mutter, because if she would have done it willingly, she couldn't use the excuse of Karka Olam. Another explanation I saw is that not in every case when something like this happens, is she karka oilam? Is she not actively participating? In many cases, indeed, that's the case, that she doesn't actively participate, but in some situations, she does. So to say that she's karka oilam wouldn't be a heter. The Rishonim ask another question. Yes, this person was an oinus. And yes, there is a klal of oinus rachmana patrate. But we know, as we learned in Masechet Sanhedrin, daf ayin dalid, the halacha is that when somebody, for example, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to bow down to somebody else's animal, the halacha is that it still becomes, it's asur. So why don't we say over here that it's karka oilam? Why don't we say over here that it's asur? That, so the Rishonim explain that even though maybe the person who worshipped it isn't considered avodah zarah, it still could be neved. So maybe that's why the Mefarshim hold that even though the person's an oinus, maybe it's still considered that the thing is a neved. To which the Gemara says, Ela marava hakol hoy b'chlal. Any type of worshipping of avodah zarah is in the klal what the Torah said loisa avdeim. Shapar lacha akos v'chai behem. When the Torah says that the mitzvahs were given for us to live, not die, yotza oinus. Oinus was excluded. But then the Torah says, that even if somebody did this aveira, ba'oinus, if there's a chilul Hashem involved, don't do it. And how do we identify if there was or wasn't a chilul Hashem? If there is or isn't a chilul Hashem, when it's done privately, the definition of private means that there aren't 10 people. When there are 10 Jews that see what's happening. And this Bryce is referring to a situation that if, even though he worshipped Avodah Zarah Ba'oinus, but since it was done publicly, it's considered Nevad and it's considered Asur. And the Chazon Ish explains, what is the difference if it was done privately or not privately? If it's Asur or Asur. So if it's Asur, it's Asur. It's Mutter, it's Mutter. So explains the Chazon Ish, we need to understand, we speak so often here, about the Aveira of Avodah Zarah. So he says, what is the Aveira of Avodah Zarah? The Aveira of Avodah Zarah is declaring that the power in this world doesn't belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It belongs to some other power. So it's not the Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah is meaningless. The Avodah Zarah has no power. So whatever happens shouldn't really make a difference. The Avodah Zarah is extremely meaningless. Rather, what we need to understand here is, explains the Chazon Ish, that what happens Avodah Zarah is that there's a public declaration making a chilul Hashem, as the Gemara very much is sort of teaching us, that of taking away the power that we ought to attribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, says the Chazon Ish, when it's done publicly, that's what Avodah Zarah is all about. But when it's not done publicly, that isn't what the Aveira of Avodah Zarah is. So the way the Rishonim explain is that when somebody is not supposed to worship Avodah Zarah under any circumstance, and person has to give up his life, but there's still, and that's what he should have done, but there's a difference in halacha between if it happened privately or it happened publicly. The Pas Yom Kippur, when we say vidui, in our vidui we declare achet shechatanal fenecha ba'oinus uberotzen. And the Mefarshim ask, why would we have to say vidui, and why would we have to do tshuva for avera that we did ba'oinus, if here we're learning that oinus rachmana patri? So certainly the way we're learning our Gemara is oinus is not always a heter, as we're learning now in our Gemara. So that's why we have to do tshuva for a veir that we did ba'oinus. That's one teretz. Another teretz is that what we're saying ba'oinus abaratzen, what we're saying is that if a person becomes accustomed to do aveiris ba'oinus, that will lead that ultimately he's going to do the aveiris even baratzen. And therefore, we say we're doing tshuva on the aver that we did ba'oinus because we know that the result of doing an aver ba'oinus can easily come to doing the avera b'rotzen. Another pshat is a very fundamental question that we need to understand. Yes, we just learned in the Gemara that oinus rachmana patri, that if somebody does an avera ba'oinus, the Torah does not consider it an avera. But what needs to be understood when we make such a, when the Gemara says such a rule, what does it mean? Does oinus rachmana patri mean that it's not an avera at all? If oinus rachmana patri means it's not an avera at all, that we could have a fair question that if somebody did an avera ba'oinus, what does he need? What does he have to say vidui for it? There's nothing to say vidui. However, if the oinus is an avera, but rachmana patri, not that it's not an avera, it's certainly an avera, but there's a new concept that we're learning here, the rachmana patri, that the Torah says, because you were in a situation that you were oinus, we won't fault you. But it doesn't diminish that it's not an avera. If that's the pshat in oinus rachmana patri, then it's very understandable why in Yom Kippur, when we say vidui, we have to say achet shechatanu fenecha ba'oinus uberotzen, because the oinus is an avera, just as rachmana patri on it. I saw that the Sefer Tiras Ovis explains how do we understand oinus rachmana patri. Says oinus, and this is a concept that we're going to be discussing in our shiurim. Somebody who's oinus, somebody who forces himself above and beyond his normal ability to do what's right, what happens with such a person is rachmana patri. HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up for him the doors, kavyachol, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up for him the door that he should be able to do what's right. Another pshat is that oinus rachmana patri, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that a person wants to daven. But unfortunately, sometimes when we want to daven, different things happen and we don't have the concentration we want to have. Says the Gemara, oinus, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that you wanted to do what's right, but oinus, beyond your control, you couldn't prevent it, rachmana patri, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that you meant to do what's right, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no claim against you. I saw another pshat, that oinus, if somebody's an oinus, and he couldn't do what he should have done, or he did what he shouldn't have done, so under normal circumstances, there are people who are not that kind, and won't care. But Rachmana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known as Rachmana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Baal HaRachman. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who in his infinite Rachmanis, has Rachmanis on the person who didn't do what he was supposed to do, Rachmana, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so much Rachmanis, Patre, he exempts him. Amalei Rabbanan L'Rova, Tanya the Messiah Loch, that there's a braisa that supports what you're teaching us, that there's a difference between Sina and Pharesia. The braisa teaches us, B'msoy Shloiv D'Kachovim, what we've been discussing in our shiur, the pedestals on which Avodah Zarah is plot, b'shas agzera, at the time that the Nachrim decreed on us that we have to worship by the Avodah Zarah, api shagzera batla, even though the gzera is gone and we're not obligated to worship the Avodah Zarah, oisa b'msoyos lebatlu, they remain osur b'avoyra. Now, let's think about it. The people who were worshipping those who were using those b'mismois at that time were doing it against their will. And still, the Gemara is saying, the loibotlu, they don't lose the status of Avodah Zarah. Why? Because they were worshipped publicly. And our Gemara is teaching us that anything that's worshipped publicly remains Avodah Zarah forever. Says the Gemara, Amalahu, and Rava said, Imishem ha, if that's the raya you want to bring, that braisa doesn't support me. Ema Yisro Mamahu. We could say that maybe the person who was worshipping on those b'masas was a person who was an apikiris, and he polach leberotzen. But it doesn't teach us that if somebody did it by oinus, it would be different. It says the Maravashi, I'm a loy tema ema. Don't say that that's the way to understand, but rather say definitively, e avadai, we have to explicitly learn the Braisa, there was Yisrael Mumahu. The reason the pedestal is also because there was Yisrael Mumer worshipping on it, or Polach LeBerotzen, and because he worshipped at Berotzen, that's why it's also indefinitely. Chizki Yomar, Chizki says the Braisa is talking in a case where somebody took somebody else's animal and worshipped it. Why is that the case? Why isn't it considered that somebody in Adam Oysa Dovish and Ishaloi says the Gemara, it's talking about a case, they poured wine on the horn of the animal. So since he did an act on that animal, even though the animal doesn't belong to him, then the animal becomes usur. So what's the Gemara is differentiating between when you did an act towards the animal versus when you did an act on the animal. Says the Gemara, Maskler of Adar Barhava, Hai Neverhu, because somebody poured wine on the animal, that is not making into an Avodah Zarah. Hai Bimus Ba'amahu, it's just like a pedestal. And therefore, if you're saying that Oinus is Potter, this should be Potter. El Amar Rava, El Amar of Adar Barhava, we're going to have to explain that Kishigoyin and he not only used the animal, he made that animal into Avodah Zarah. He made it into an Avodah Zarah. And because he made it into Avodah Zarah, something which is actually made into an Avodah Zarah, even though it doesn't belong to the person that worshipped it, it becomes an Avodah Zarah. And what we're learning from here is that even though this is not a very significant maisa, because you didn't do anything that would change the animal, still, it's enough to make the animal into a nevad. That's the way Rashi seems to learn. That's the way Rashba learns. The Ritva, however, says that when the Gemara is saying that he poured wine, it doesn't mean that they just poured wine. They made a hole in the head of the animal, and since they made a hole in the head of the animal, and made the animal, that changed the animal, and that's why it's an Avodah Zarah. The Kiyada also Ulam Rabbi Yochanan, Abi Shamar Amishtachl Behemes Chaver Le Osra, and also by Maisa, if you do something physical on that animal, Osra, then the animal becomes Osir Be'anor. In fact, the Rishonim, this debate that we're learning now, in order for something to be Nevad, you have to do a maisa. Is there a different if you did it, if it's on your animal or if it's somebody else's animal? In other words, this halacha that you have to do a maisa to make it into a nevad, will that be only a halacha if it's somebody else's animal, but it's your animal, even without a maisa, it's already nevad? Or even by your own animal, the same halacha will apply. I also saw that this question, that by doing a maisa, you make it into a nevad, and that's why it's osur, there's a machloikus rishonim, if that's an issa, if it becomes osur midaraisa, or it's only osur midrabbanan. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Pukav Amalei Lula, go, as they told him what Ula taught us, and he said, Pukav Amalei Lula, he said, go tell Ula, Kvatugma Rafuna Lishmaitzach Mabavel. Rav Huna already said this halacha like you. Dam Rav Huna, Haisa behemes chaver rutzim b'fnei avodes kechavim. If somebody else's animal was sitting in front of an avodah zarah, kiven sheshach basimen echad, so he did a real maisa, a maisa shchita, asra, it becomes in the category of a nevet. Ask the Gemara, how do we know menolon da asra? Ilayim mekahanim, that we learn in Yecheskel that the Malchei Yisrael forced the Kohanim to become priests for Avodah Zarah. And the Pasuk says, V'lo yikshu elai l'kain li, that once they were used for Avodah Zarah, they were no longer allowed to work in the Beis HaMikdash. So we see that even if somebody or something was done against their will, the halacha is that they become a nevid. Says the Gemara, so the same thing by the animal. Says the Gemara, we can't bring a raya from the Kahanim the Bnei Dayaninu. They're intelligent people. And that's why if they did an avoda for the Beis HaMikdash, for the avoda zara, they become possible for the Beis HaMikdash. But that doesn't necessarily translate itself to animals. And this opens up a very difficult question. The question is that during the war, I saw that Shalz Chuvus Mamakim, Chel Gimel Simach Yur Gimel, a sefer that discusses many, many difficult shilas that came up during the time of World War II. And there was an individual who was under, obviously, great danger. And while they were under great danger, they disguised themselves as goyim, and they acted like goyim in order that they should not be caught. And after the war, they, Baruch Hashem, were freed. And now the question is that when they were under Nazi control, they were acting like goyim, and now he's a kohen. And now the question is, how does the halacha look at them? Because we just learned in our Gemara that when we're talking about people who are individuals, Bnei Deya, the halacha is that Muma, for example, the Shulchan Aruch in Arachayim, Sim Kuf Chavav, Sif Lamed Zayin says, Muma Avodah Zarah, somebody who worshipped Avodah Zarah, La Yusuf Kapav, should never be allowed to duchen. The Rama says that Im Asa Tshuva Nasa Kapav. Then he also writes, Lediv Im Nenas, if what he did was under duress, Ledev Hakol Mutalisus Kapav. So certainly according to the Rama, there's room for leniency, but perhaps even in not according to the Rama. When we're dealing with an individual who was under such terrible danger, then the halacha is that it's different. And he writes in that sefer that if we see that the person did full tshuva, and he also suggests that this person should go to the mikvah, and after all that, he says that the person could be accepted as a kohen, he could be accepted back into the fold of Klal Yisrael. Ella, how do we know that even if something doesn't belong to you, if you did a maisa, it becomes nevad? Says the Maram Avnei Mizbeach. The pasuk, as we discussed in our previous shurim, speaks about the Mizbeach, that the Greeks, when they came into the Beis HaMikdash, used the fat of Avodah Zarah, and the Beis Chashmonai took those stones away and built another Mizbeach. Now, we think about those stones. Those stones did not belong to the Greeks. They belonged to Hegdash. But since they were actually used for Avodah Zarah, they became usur to be used as a Mizbeach. Presumably, that's the same halacha here, that the animal that they were used for Avodah Zarah becomes permanently pasul. But says the Mavadumak Rapapa, maybe, as we discussed, the pasuk there says that Boba Pritzim v'chalalua, that when the Yevonim went into the Beis HaMikdash, they defiled and took away the Kedusha for everything in the Beis HaMikdash. But that isn't a raya to the cases that we've been discussing in our cases. Says the Gemara, Elam Kalim. The Pasuk says that the Kalim that of the Beis HaMikdash, that Achaz Melech Yehuda said they cannot be used anymore. The Pasuk says, V'skol HaKalim HaShinzniach HaMelech Achaz B'Malchusoy B'Malo Yichane V'Gdashnu. The Pasuk says that Achaz used the Kalim for Avodah Zarah, V'Amamar, and we learned on Daf Nun Beis HaMabeis, the Pasuk says, Yichanu V'Gdashnu, Yichanu Shagonzim, that they put them away. V'Gdashnu Shiktishu Achem Tachteu. So we see that once these Kalim, even though they didn't belong to him, were used for Avodah Zarah, they can no longer be used again for the Beis HaMikdash. Ask the Gemara, as we're learning, but why would that be the halacha? A person doesn't have the ability to make something that doesn't belong to his asur. Ella, we must explain, the kivin davar b'maisa, since they did something with those kalim, itzur lehu, they became usur. Hachanami, and that's why in our Gemara we have to explain, kimich usurba maisa, they did shechita on the animal, that the halach is usra, the animals became usur to be used for the base of Migdash, on, even though they didn't belong to this person. Says the Makyasra of Dimi, Amar of Yochanan, Apish Amru, Hamishtacha, Lakak Oilam, Layasra. We've been learning over and over and over in Masechta that somebody cannot make something which is Mechubar. Somebody cannot make a mountain Asr for, somebody cannot make a mountain a ground Asr. But if Chafa Basichram, Bairus Sichram Iris, if you dug pits, caves, Asra, then that entire property becomes a Avodah Zarah. The Ravid explains that it's not just enough that it's dug for that purpose. It also has to be worshipped. If it was just dug for that purpose, but not actually worshipped, it doesn't become Avodah Zarah. Says the Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam holds that as soon as it was dug for that purpose, then it becomes Avodah Zarah. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam that as soon as it was dug for Avodah Zarah, becomes Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, Kiyasar of Shmuel by Yehuda, Amar Rav Yochanan, Apish Amar Mishtach Lebal Chayim, if somebody bows down to an animal, like Asron, even if belongs to you, doesn't become Asr, as we learned, it becomes Asr for the base of Migdash, but it doesn't become Asr for you privately. Asr Chalip L'Avodes Kechavim. If somebody has an Avodah Zarah, if somebody exchanged, he gave away an Avodah Zarah and got animals instead, Asron. The halacha is that those animals become Asr. Says the Gemara, Kiyasin Ravin, Amma Pligaba, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbanan, that only the chalipin, what was used exactly for exchange of Avodah Zarah's Asr, chalipin. That means, if you took the animals that you got in exchange for Avodah Zarah, and then exchanged those animals for something else, that is mutter. We don't take the concept of chalipin that far. Says the Gemara, my time demand the Omer Chalipa Chalipin Asurin. What is the basis for the opinion that says the Chalipa Chalipin is Asurin? Omer Kra, says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says, V'yisachem Kamayu, Kol Sha'atam Mechayu Mimenu, anything that emanates from the Avodah Zarah, the Loch is Arayu Kamayu, it doesn't make a difference how many generations further it is. Vidach, and the other man, who holds the Chalipa Chalipin is Mutter, because the Pasuk says, Ki Cherim Hu, only what was used and exchanged is Asr, for like Chalipa Chalipin. Vidach, and the other man, Dama, what's he going to do with the word for who? Says the Gemara, Humi Baile Lemutei Olive Kleli Karim, that only Avodah Zarah is the halacha of Chalipin, but all in Kali Karim, even though in Machram, the Kiddush B'demayim, if somebody sold Orla, which we know is Asbahna, and received money for selling the Arla, and then he is Mekadesh a woman with that money, the Loch is Mekudeshes, that the Chalipe Arla is mutter, and therefore the Kedusha would be considered a valid Kedusha. Vidach, and the other Mandamer, where will he know this Halacha from? Says the Gemara, that other Mandamer is going to say, There's no requirement for that pasuk, for a pasuk to tell us that they're mutter. This halacha chalipin is taught in two places, by Avodah Zarah and by Shemitah, and there's a rule in Shas for kol shnei ksum abayim keechad, ein melamdim. If the Torah wanted that halacha should be the halacha in everywhere, it would be adequate to say it once, and from there we'll learn for Kol HaTorah Kula. But if the Torah says it in two places, what does the Torah mean to say? The Torah means to say that where we said it's Asr, and where we didn't say it's Asr, it's not Osir. And since it's said in these two places, therefore only here is there a concept of Chalipin, nowhere else. So the Gemara explains what was just said. Avodah Zarah Chavim Hadamorin, the pasuk that said V'hoisechem Kameu, that we learned Chalipin Avodah Zarah is Osir. B'shvias Deksiv, the pasuk says B'shvias Kiyovil Hi Kodesh Tiyo Lechem. Ma Kodesh, something that is Kodesh for the Beis HaMikdash, Typhus is Domov, as the pasuk says that if you sell it, the money becomes Kodesh. Vasur, the money is considered Hegdish. Afshvius Tefesis the Mua Vasura, says the Brisa further. Imak Kodesh Tefes is Domov, Vyoitz Lechulin, that if you sell something that's Hegdish, you pay the Hegdish, so the money becomes Hegdish, and whatever you sold is no longer Hegdish. So we would Af Kodesh Tefes Domov, and the thing you sold, Vyoitz Lechulin. I would think Avshvius Tefesis the Mea, if you sold Shemitah produce, the Kedusha Shvius goes on to that money, and the fruit itself, the produce itself, maybe is Yoitzel Chulin. Tamaloymer, the pasuk says, Kodesh Tia Bavyasa Tehei. Hakeitzat, and the Brice explained it. Lokach Beper Shvius Basar. If somebody sold Shvius produce for meat, the loch is that both the produce and that meat have the loch of Shvius. The loch of Shvius is Biur. That once it's that fruit or produce is no longer available in the field, it has to be destroyed. And that will apply both to the animal in this, to the fruit in this case, and the animal. If now lok v'basa dogim, you sell the meat that you got for Shvius produce and you buy fish, so yotzabot basa, the basa doesn't have kedusha Shvius anymore, v'nichnasu dogim. Dogim yayin, Yotzu Dagen v'nachnas Yayin. Shemen, Yotzu Yayin v'nachnas Shemen. Okay, so what are we learning from all of this? The Kate, Achron, Nitzus Shvius. The last item on the list has Kedusha Shvius, but the pre-Atzmai, the Shvius produce, is Osir. So we see from here that Shemitah has a concept of Chalipi Shvius. And that's why we don't need a Pasik to teach us that Orl and Kali Karim don't have Chalipin. Because only when the Torah says this concept is it applicable. Vidach, the other mandama that does need a pasuk for Orl and Kalik Karim, Ksover, he isn't bothered by the fact that the Torah teaches us the halacha twice. His opinion is, Shnei Ksum Abayim Kechem Alamdim, and that's why he needs the pasuk who to say that this halacha does not apply by Orl and Kalik Karim. So the Paiskim discussed, the Michlis Yitzchak has chuvis that unfortunately we know there are people in Eretz Yisrael that are not makbid on Hilchos Shvius. And since they're not makbid on Hilchos Shvius, then they sell Shvius produce, why should we not be concerned that the money that's received has Kedusha Shvius, as Agamar just said? And therefore, whenever we get money in the Shemitah year, we should be concerned that that money has in it Kedusha Shvius. He says that one of the reasons the Michlis Yitzchak is lenient. He says that since most people don't do cash transactions, they do transactions through credit, through checks, through credit cards. So because of that, the money that we get, there's very little chance that it has Kedusha Shvius. The Michel Shloima also discusses, and he says that we could always say that when somebody goes to the store and he's concerned that the money he's being given is Shvius money, what he'll say to the person who's giving him is, I'm exchanging my money for your money. And therefore, that money that he's now giving will not be money that has on it Kedusha Shvius. Says the Mishnah, Sholu has a Canaan. Beroimi, the Chachmei Yisrael that were in Rome were asked, "Im ein ritzoinoi by Avodas Kechavim, by Kadosh Baruch Hu so opposed to Avodah Zarah, lama einu mevatlo? Why doesn't Kadosh Baruch Hu just destroy all the Avodah Zarah in the world?" Vamelhen said, "The Chachmei Yisrael, ilo davish ein tzarich olam ba'ahaya avdim. If indeed that they were worshiping." things that have no purpose, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevatlo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would indeed eliminate them. But what are worshipped? All sorts of things that are very required for the world. So should HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroy his entire world with Nei HaShoytim? Amalahem, Im Ken Yo'ovid Dovish Ein Tzarech La'olam Bay. If it should make a difference, what is what they're worshipping? If they're worshipping things that the world needs, so then indeed we understand that the world needs these things. But if they're worshipping things that the world doesn't need, why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just eliminate them? Im Ken Yo'ovid Dovish Ein Tzarech La'olam Bay, V'Niach Dovish Ein Tzarech La'olam Bay. Amalem, to which they responded, think about your question. If that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu would manage the world, what's going to happen is that the people who worship things that cannot be eliminated will now use this as a proof that they are, that these things are needed, because that these things are indeed avodah zarah, because they were not destroyed. This is the best proof that their gods, they could not be eliminated. The Ra takes approach to this Mishnah that the fundamental belief of Avodah Zarah is that they all believed that there was a God in the world. They just believed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over the management of the world to the to avoid the Zara. And that's why they asked this question. The Ein Yaakov answers and asks, why don't they just answer? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us the opportunity to get schar. So he leaves the avoid the Zara in the world, and that's how we'll get schar. So he answers that we know that the Gemara says that the Anshe Knesset Agdoilo took away the Yetzahar of avoid the Zara. What does it mean that he took away the Aveira? Loi hein v'loi schar, we don't want the Yetzar and we don't want the schar. So to say that it was done, that the leftover for schar, we see that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do so. That, and as the morale explains our Mishnah, the morale explains that the fundamental belief of our religion is that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us Bechira. And since the fundamental belief of our religion is Bechira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not do anything that would eliminate Bechira. Says the Matan Rabbanan Shalom Philosophin, as is a kind of philosophy, means the Chachmei Umas Olam, the philosophers, Beroimi. Im Elokeichem Ein Ritzonai Mevretz Kechavim, if your God doesn't want to avoid the Zorim, Nei Ma'ayin Mevatla, why doesn't he eliminate it? Amalem, Ila Dovashen Olam Tzorech Lo'ayavdim, if they were worshipping something that the world doesn't need, indeed, Harei Umvatla. Harei Oivdim. But what do they worship? L'chamel v'anel k'chavim u'mazolus, the star, the moon, what the world so much needs. Yavar oilam nei ha'shoytim, should we have the entire world be destroyed because of these people? El oilam k'min haga noig, the world continues as the world continues. V'shoytim k'kilkalu, and the people, the foolish people who do these averus, asirim litin sadin. I saw the Sfarim explain, oilam k'min haga noig. How does the world run? The world runs the way we make the world runs. Oilam k'min haga noig. That we are the ones that have that connection. We say Shabbos by davening, kel baruch gedol deya, heichen afal zorei chama. We say, HaKel Baruch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all intelligent. And we say, Heichen Ubal Zorei Chama, why does the sun shine? Should HaKadosh Baruch Hu not eliminate the sun? And like that, they won't worship them. And the answer is, Toiv Yotza Kavl Shmai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world to bring Kvod Shemayim. The sun and the moon are primarily here to bring Kvod Shemayim. And since they're primarily here to bring Kvod Shemayim, everything else doesn't make a difference. Dover Acher, HaReisha Gozo Sol Shalchitim. If somebody stole wheat, V'holach zar b'kak, and then he planted it in the ground. Then a shloy titzmach. That wheat should not grow. Why does it grow? Elamaylam kaminig noig. The world continues as it does. And shaitim shkilkalu asidim litin asadin. If somebody had relations with a ashes ish, didn't she like to say she shouldn't get pregnant? How could a woman get pregnant from such a horrible avera? And this is what Rish Lakish says, that Kadosh Baruch Hu says they make my image terrible, because we learned many times that every person was created b'tzelem elokim. A person is created in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's image. And when a person doesn't act properly, he's defiling the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moreover, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person who was born properly, if he doesn't act properly, does that. And certainly, when they have illicit relations, and they have children, so now they take the image of Hashem and put it on children that should not have been born in the first place.